Sports Minutes with Elliot Danker and Ziaul Roshan.
Money FM 89.3. It is now time for Sports Minutes. I'm Elliot Danker together with Ziaul Roshan. And we're doing a two-parter today, being part two of a sport that I think we don't give enough coverage to.
Yeah, we unfortunately don't, but this is a good place to start, especially with the Singapore Badminton Open on the horizon.
I know, the KFF Singapore Badminton Open 2024. Yesterday, we spoke with Miss Cindy Karim, who is the principal of the Karim Family Foundation. We found out about what they are doing to build the sport and beyond the sport in Singapore. Today, let's find out a little bit about the inner workings of the Badminton Association.
Yes, very exciting. And for that, we have Mr. Arun Kavale, Vice President of the Singapore Badminton Association, joining us. Arun, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
This is fun. I want to start off really as a Vice President of the Singapore Badminton Association. And then I'm a former Montfort boy, as I mentioned yesterday. Everyone's trying to get into the national team. So when you go around secondary schools, how do you assess? I think I put you on the spot there.
No, I know Montfort is a good team. One of our Singapore Badminton Association Management Committee members happens to be, I think, the chief head coach for Montfort. It's a good team.
All right, there you go. But what is it like when you see this sport in secondary schools, kids picking it up? What does badminton mean for you?
For me, I grew up playing badminton. I've been playing badminton for, 35 years now.
Wow.
So I grew up in India, and I was playing badminton in the junior circuit in India. Unfortunately, my career and my passion diverged at some point. So now I'm trying to make the twain meet and give back to the sport that gave me so much.
Brilliant.
Now, Cindy laid down a challenge for us yesterday when we spoke to her. I'm not going to do the same mistake with Arun, who clearly equipped with the skills.
We won't make it, though.
Let's talk numbers and let's talk about funding. Arun, perhaps you can elaborate on how the funding over the 3 years, $600,000, will specifically impact the training and competition opportunities for our national shuttlers.
Sure. I think, firstly, we are very, very grateful for Karim Family Foundation for their support, not just through this funding initiative, but I think there are multiple fronts along which they are helping us. So I'm truly, truly grateful for them. Now, specific to this funding, the $600,000 over 3 years will have obviously a significant, significant impact on the training and competition opportunities that we can provide our national shuttlers. I'm going to call out three specific things here. The first one is primarily this funding will help us organize more training camps for our players and also provide opportunities for our athletes to sort of participate in overseas training programs and competitions. As you can imagine, this is critical for our players to A, get exposure, B, enhance their skills, and go and get some much valued ranking points out there. Mm. It feeds a virtuous cycle. The more ranking points you have, the higher you're ranked in a tournament, so you deeper you go into a tournament. So it feeds a virtuous cycle in itself. So you got to start by giving them opportunities to compete. So this funding is, in that sense, a very, very welcome first step.
I think you bring up a really excellent point because, I mean, I'm sure you've heard on the ground regular Singaporeans saying, oh, why can't we produce a world number one in whatever sport it may be? We take for granted funding and how that feeds into people getting international rankings. Tell us a little bit about that challenge and how you guys have overcome it, of course, including the funding that you've received.
Yeah, I think listening to yesterday's conversation that you had with Cindy, I think it's good for us to take a step back and remind our listeners. I don't know how many of our listeners are aware, Singapore has one of the richest histories in world badminton. Too many people know about this. You know, back in the day, and talking about our pre-independence days, the combined team of Singapore and Malaya actually went and won the first three Thomas Cups.
Wow.
1949, 1952, and 1955. And we won the silver medal in the 1958 Thomas Cup. Thomas Cup is the world championships in the men's team event.
Yeah.
So we were world champions. And one of our players, Mr. Wong Peng Soon, is hailed as an all-time great in the sport of badminton. He won All England four times in five appearances. So we have had a super rich history in the sport. More recently, of course, you know, I mean, who hasn't heard of Lokenyo's exploits in 2021 when he won the World Championship?
Yeah.
But again, that's not an isolated incident. We had Terry and Jessica, who won the Commonwealth Games mixed doubles gold in 2022.
Right.
We had Lily, who won Commonwealth Games women's singles gold in 2002. And we've had our youngsters, Zhu Jie and Johan Prajogo, who were ranked world number one in the junior men's doubles as recently as 2022.
Wow.
And of course, Yeo Chamin, our number one women's singles player, has been in the world's top 20 of women's badminton for a while now. So we have the metal to, you know, show, and we are not just an event hosting country.
Yeah.
We are also a champion-producing country.
Wow. Fantastic.
I mean, that was brilliant, laying it out for us in terms of the illustrious history. Arun, I have to ask you, though, you laid out the illustrious history. We talked about the funding. You're a former athlete. Do you feel the pressure now to then go out and deliver?
Well, I mean, as a sportsman, a former sportsman, pressure is what drives you to greatness, right? I mean, if you don't have pressure, coal remains coal. It doesn't become diamond, right?
Yeah.
pull off a cliche right there. But I think pressure is welcome. You've got to have a certain amount of healthy pressure. But we are also a nation that tends to put a lot more pressure than required. So that's something for the session to make sure we shield our players from.
Okay. Arun, what are your thoughts on how, I mean, we know that funding from KFF is going to help players become better, more exposure. How does that help make the sport more, I don't know, say the competitiveness become more appealing for us fans?
Is that specific to the KFF Singapore Open that you're referring to?
Or any funding of any sort, as long as there's help. How does that make the sport more appealing?
Sure. I mean, if I were to wear the hat of an event organizer, for example, specific to KFF Singapore Open. Now, thanks to the funding, you know, we are so fortunate to have KFF as our title sponsor for a second year in the running. We also have some, you know, good sponsors who have been with us for a while. You know, our presenting sponsor is JK Technologies.
Okay.
And we have a bunch of other sponsors. Now, thanks to their avid support to us, we have been able to get a Super 750 great tournament in Singapore. Now, again, a little bit of context here. Super 750 is one of the highest tiers in the world badminton calendar.
Wow.
And it's very coveted. The prize money can go up to $1 million.
Okay.
There are only six Super 750 tournaments in the world, and we are one of them. So you can imagine the amount of competitive pressure that exists for you to bid and successfully secure it for Singapore. So this wouldn't have been possible without the, you know, the funding support, the sponsorship from our supporters and sponsors like KFF. The good thing here, specific to a fan, is Super 750. What does it mean for a fan? The world's top 15 ranked players will mandatorily play in this tournament. So all your favorite superstars will be in action under one roof.
Right.
I mean, for us, badminton fan, it can't get better than this.
Yeah, I see that, right? It's like you have these events or marathons, for example, and they've got a particular IAAF rating goal. Mm. And now we have this with badminton. The difference is, with what KFF is trying to do as well, is one of our own will be competing there.
Exactly, and that's where the home crowd can come in to cheer LKY. I'm just going to put it out there. We're all fans, I guess.
Yeah.
But Arun, I'm tempted to ask you, you talk about high-level tennis, and that's a lot to look forward to. But anything else in terms of activities or events that other fans can look forward to attend the event?
Sure. So one of the things that we set ourselves against as part of our key must-dos was badminton fans have a reason to come.
Okay.
So I think that one is our core audience. We will have to stand by them. That's fine. But we also wanted to make it a little bit more all-encompassing, right? So we wanted to make it into some sort of a wholesome family entertainment package. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? We tried some elements of this last year, but we have really picked on it this year and amplified it. So for example, there's going to be a carnival right outside the badminton venue.
Very nice.
So this carnival, you know, we have partnered with Capital Land and the whole of Kallangwe Mall large part of Kallangwe Mall will be part of this promotion. So you can expect some F&B promotions.
Okay.
There's also a carnival that extends into the OCBC Square, which if you're familiar with the geography of the Singapore Indoor Stadium, it's right next to the stadium.
Yes, yes.
So we have live performances happening there. So music performances happening there. We have some badminton-related fun contests. We are doing Singapore's Hardest Smasher Challenge. So you can come there and if you think you are a strong arm, go swing your arm and let's see if you are really strong.
But I have to hit the shuttlecock.
You have to hit the shuttlecock, unfortunately.
I'm going to miss. I'm out.
So there's a bunch of stuff happening. There are some workshops happening. There's we will have some professional players come there and you can challenge them for a game of five-point badminton. And if you beat them, you get $100.
Hey.
So there's a whole bunch of things happening. Our objective is really give them top-class, world-class badminton inside the premise, but also give them enough to keep them engaged. You know, if there are four people in a family and one is a badminton crazy, let's say a father, what do you do for the other three people in the family? So you want to give them a reason to come and attend and have fun.
Trying to get my mother out of retirement, go for this.
I'm taking notes to convince my wife why she'll be there that weekend.
Good luck. Arun, I was wondering if I could ask you for some free advice. I am an independent board member for another sport in Singapore. And one of the challenges I tend to see is this word called collaboration. You guys seem to be so good at it. Tell us a little bit about how the Singapore Badminton Association collaborates with stakeholders, government agencies, and of course the KFF.
Sure. Oh, that's there's a lot to unpack.
That's loaded.
Here. There's a lot to unpack here, but let me try and simplify this. Certainly not an exhaustive answer, but let's start somewhere.
Okay.
I think if I were to articulate what is it that we as Singapore Badminton Association want to achieve, let me just give at a very high level three things.
Okay.
Firstly, we want to build an active and strong talent pipeline, which means we need to have multiple players competing in every category, which is unfortunately not the situation yet.
Okay.
We'll get there. We'll get there for sure. So building a strong talent pipeline. The second is really to, you know, deliver medals for Singapore, high performance, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot run away from that. And third is for us as an NSA, National Sporting Association, to become a little bit more efficient in terms of becoming financially sustainable, in terms of becoming independent, so we can scale out and reach out to a larger part of the community, right?
Okay.
So partnerships with private sector has a role, you know, there is a role for private sector participation and collaboration across each of these three elements.
Okay.
I'll just give you one or two examples. From a talent pipeline standpoint, I think you heard yesterday KFF, how they're investing in the player development.
Yes, yes, that's
now, player
huge.
Development is a huge component. It gives us not just an opportunity to sell, you know, local news and your champions out to compete. It also gives us an opportunity to send our second tier and junior teams out and get them exposure,
right,
which is important. If you want an youngster to become local new, you got to invest in them when they're early on,
not
when they become, you know, local new. So I think partnerships, this is just one example. We have a series of partnerships. Maybe one more example to go with is when you look at a talent pipeline is not just about taking a youngster and making them into a champion. It's also about what happens to them after their career is over. So we are putting in place a post-career program, again, in collaboration, in partnership with another corporate called JK Technologies. So these are critical partnerships for us. That's one example of how partnering with private sector helps us. There are similar examples for high performance, as well as for making ourselves more financially sustainable.
There you have it, Elliot. You asked for advice. I think that was so holistic.
A lot to chew on.
Exactly. And there's so much to look forward to because the future looks bright. It's the KFF Singapore Badminton Open 2024 happening 28 May to 2nd June. Go online, check it out. Arun, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. We've been speaking to Mr. Arun Kavale, Vice President of the Singapore Badminton Association.
Thank you for having me here.
Sports Minutes on Money FM 89.3.